Hey y'all, I'm Hannah Liz, a coastal living, Jesus loving, NC native, and this is the Living Freed podcast, where we discuss intentionally living our lives to the fullest that God has intended, having those late night, open heart, friend combos, not letting others, ourselves, or ideas hold us down, allowing Jesus to free us of the chains that we didn't know we were holding on to. You can see the full show notes attached to this episode, and if you love this episode, please leave me a review. All right, it's time for our weekly catch-ups where you get to hear what's been going on in my life so you get to know me a little bit better. As you're listening to this podcast, I will just be getting back from Iceland. It will have been a 8 or 9 day long trip with my younger brother, and I'm sure it has been amazing. Can't wait to update y'all on that next. What else will have been going on? Honestly, that's it. That's all I can think will be happening, so nothing too crazy. Okay, so what's in? Let's think about this. Probably rest. If I had to guess, what is in is rest. I will be ready to get back to work and to chill out. And what is out is not my AC anymore. That's for sure. My AC has been back and it is glorious. I'm very thankful for that. You know what's really out and I'm so thankful is Love Island. Y'all, I am so thankful to not be watching Love Island anymore. This last season was trash. I know we're like 3 weeks out from when it ended, but please, I just did not enjoy it. It felt like a chore to watch. It wasn't a vibe. I did not really love everyone on the cast. I mean, I love my little Amaya Papaya girl, and we're all keeping up with like the aftermath drama. But yeah, I'm just not loving it. Also, I just don't know if I'll watch it again in the future. That's all. There is no also. That's all I have to say on that. I'm thankful that it's over. I'm thankful that it's out. And I don't have to let it consume my life and make sure no one gives me any spoilers or talk to clients about it anymore. I'm really happy about that. Okay. Well, anyways, let's dive into today's episode. Y'all, my whole life, I've been taught that God loves us and that's why he sent his son to die on the cross for us. That he loves me and cares for me. But that can become such a passing thought for most of us that grow up in church or just religious people in general. For those of us that have mental health disorders or childhood trauma, it's even harder to comprehend because if God loves you, why do you have anxiety? If God cares for you, why do you struggle with depression? If God even likes you, why don't you feel like he does? Did you know that 50% of the world's population will struggle with mental health at some point in their life? That 1 out of 7 adolescents will have a mental health disorder? And even though there isn't an exact number, women are more likely to experience a mental health condition. We could jump down the rabbit hole of how sin came into the world and therefore we have mental health disorders and crappy adults that cause trauma, but that's not what we're here to talk about. I'm here to remind you, better yet, I'm here to convince you that not only does God love you, but he also likes you. Like a lot. Let's set a foundation and build from there. What is love? Well, Webster's Dictionary says it's a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties like maternal love for a child. Now, there are 4 different words for love in the Greek language, but the most common one in the New Testament is agape. This refers to selfless, unconditional love, often associated with divine love or charity. It's a love that extends to everyone, including those who may be difficult to love. Reading these definitions reminds me of when I would say to my friends that I love everyone, but I don't like everyone. That meaning that I don't wish ill on someone, I don't hate them, we might have personal ties, or I might carry some sympathetic feeling for them, so I love them. But because I don't really have the option to hate them, it would do me no good to hate them, but I definitely have the option to not like them, and I will take that option most days. Okay, so let's look at the word like. Webster defines like as to feel attraction towards or take pleasure in, so to enjoy. B is to feel towards or regard. And C, to wish to have, aka to want. And the Greek word for like is phileo. This is a love of friendship, a deep affection and bond between people who are equals. It implies loyalty, virtue, and familiarity. For example, the love between close friends or strong bond within a community. The word love is perceived more as a noun, and the word like is looked at more often as a verb, so an action word. We choose what we like, it's an action. We are made after God's image, so He must choose as well, right? So, does God like us? Does He like you? Does He like me? Does He actively choose again and again and again every day to like you? Does He even think about you? Or is He more like that parent or friend that claims to love you but treats you as an inconvenience? Better yet, how could He like you when you don't like you? So let's circle back to His love. God's love is unconditional. We as humans often compare it to a healthy parent's love, so there are no conditions you must meet to keep it. You can't say the wrong thing, you can't look a certain way, you can't have it one day and lose it the next. If you're His, then you're His, and that's that. But like is a different matter. Our parents don't always like us, our best friends don't always like us, and we, you and me, we don't always like us. But God isn't like that. His love and His like go hand in hand. He doesn't like us one day, and then the next He hears us say something and decides He doesn't like us. He likes us no matter what, just like He loves us. Okay, so we're going to look at a few verses so I can make an argument that He really likes you. I love the NIV translation lately, so that's what I'm going to read out of. Matthew 6, verse 26 says, "Look at the birds in the sky. Do they not plant seeds? Do they not gather grains? Do they not put grain into a building to keep? Yet your Father in heaven feeds them. Are you not more important than the birds?" Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says, "For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." In Jeremiah 1:5, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." I'm sorry, but do you think He only knew Jeremiah while He was forming him and not you as well? Nahum 1:7 says, in the ESV version, by the way, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him." Knows, He knows you. If you're taking refuge in Him, He knows you. But before you take refuge in Him, He knows you. He formed your inner being in Jeremiah. He made you fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalms. Why would He not know you before you even take refuge in Him? Sorry, let me keep going. Matthew 10:29-31 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." In Zephaniah 3:17, in the NLT version, it says, "He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." In Genesis 1:31, it says, "God saw what He made, and it was good." Point blank, period. So yeah, does God like you? Based on these verses, I'd say yes. Does He care for you? Also, yes. It might not seem like much, but here's your reminder that He cares about you and the little things about you. He likes your eyes. He likes your nose, even when it's in someone else's business. He likes your hair color, whatever color it might be right now. He likes your laugh. He likes your voice, whether you're singing Pink Pony Club or Oceans. He likes you. Really, if He cares about the birds of the air, the freaking birds of the air, those little tiny rats with wings that fly about, sorry to those who like birds, how much more does He care for you? Because I personally hate birds. They creep me out. So I'm glad He likes them because that means He likes me a whole lot more. Liking you is an act of choice He makes every day. He wants you, has regard for you, and He enjoys you. I think we often don't like ourselves, so we assume God must not like us and is forced to love us out of obligation, but that's not the case. You're not an obligation. You might feel that way sometimes, but that's not reality, and it's not from Him. I'm not sure how you like to process information or remind yourself of truths, but we're going to come up with an acrostic. So, for the word like, let's start with L. L, we will use the word love, plain and simple, because He loves you. I will be immaculate. Duh, it's how He sees you. Okay. K is knowing. He knows you. E is easy. Let's use the word enjoys because he enjoys you. And since we probably need to add an S for the active here and now, then we have supports, smiles, and satisfied because he does support us. I'm sure he looks down and smiles on us even when we don't smile at ourselves. And he is very satisfied with us because just like Genesis 1:31 said, what he made was good. And girl, you might not think so, but he knows so. Your experience with love will shape your experience on what it means for someone to like you. Whether you had a bad parent, adult figure, friend, or boyfriend mistreat you, but your view of yourself will also determine your opinion on what it means for someone to like you. Some of us feel like we're difficult to love, so being liked too, oh, forget about it. Not possible, not gonna happen. Maybe you were used by friends a lot for what you had, social status or whatever, so you feel like you being liked is determined by what worth people place on you. You might feel like you have to show up a certain way at church for God to like you, dress nice, have your makeup and hair done, ready to serve, or just show up in general, but that's not the truth. He will like you whether you show up in a new dress or sweatpants, or stay home and spend one-on-one time with him, because he loves you. Therefore, he likes you. I had just started dating someone and was maybe a little over a month in when I got a really bad cold. This guy insisted on coming over to see me. I think he might have met my parents only once, and I was around 19, so I was still living at home. I warned my dad that this guy was coming over while I laid on the couch with gross, snotty tissues all around me and lots of blankets. My dad said, "You should go put some makeup on before he gets here." And I said, "No. He knows I'm sick. He insisted on coming over to see me so he can see me like this. And if he doesn't like it, then that's his problem, not mine." Well, after that, we kept dating for about 2 more years. Seeing me sick, makeupless, with snotty tissues didn't make him run away. In fact, he was around more than ever after that day. Why? Because he liked me. Y'all have heard the dating phrase, if he wanted to, he would. Well, God wants to, so he does. You can't be too much, ask too much, not be enough for him to be like, "Oh, this girl just isn't doing it for me. She's asking too much. Let me take a break from her." No, that's not God, and that's not how he shows up or who he is. He likes it when you're a lot. He likes it when you're quiet and chill. He likes it when you're laughing too loud or crying out your emotions. He likes it when you ask big things of him. You can't gross him out or shame him away. You can't be too needy or overwhelm him because he likes you, cares about you, and the life you're living here on this earth. All I want for you is to leave this convo knowing you are not just loved, but liked by your Heavenly Father. The choices you make or have made, who you were or are, what others speak into you, or how you feel about yourself does not affect whether he liked you yesterday, today, or tomorrow. He likes you, like a lot. And if you don't believe me, maybe you should go ask him to show you. Father, I ask that she knows that she is not just loved. Actually, ask that she doesn't just assume she is loved by it being repeated around her over and over and over, but that she knows in her heart and through her body that she is liked by you. That you like her, Lord. That you see her and you smile down upon her. You see her and you enjoy her. You see her singing in the car. You see her emotional outbursts. You hear her cuss. You hear her rebuke herself on cussing. Whatever it is, Lord, I hope she knows that you enjoy her. That you choose to like her every day, that it's not out of obligation, that it's not just because you loved her and your son died for her, but that you actively like her. If she doesn't feel liked, have her find a way to ask you to show you that you like her. Give her that reminder that even though she might not like herself or feel like others don't like her, that you constantly like her every single day. Whatever the devil's telling her, whatever doubts or fears or insecurities come in, whatever from her past is haunting her or her present, that she would remember that you like her and you choose to like her. That she's not just loved, but she is liked, like a lot. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for listening to the Living Freed podcast. Let's get connected on Instagram. You can reach me at HannahLizD or email me at livingfreedpod@gmail.com. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. And if you have any feedback or a subject you'd like me to cover, please email or DM me on Instagram. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel encouraged, lighter, and liked today. Bye, y'all.